Okay, good morning. We are on Kuf Hey Amud Beis, page 105b. The Gemara is in the middle of a series of Mishnayos, Braisos, laws, where really a measurement is in order. The Braisa, the Tanaitic source, did not give a measurement. And Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they gave a measurement. So the last thing we saw was a law in regards to impurity, that if a person is a zav, if a person's had a discharge, which makes him impure, so the law is that if a pure person leans on him, or if he leans on a pure person, the pure person then becomes impure. What happens if both of them were on a shaky tree, or both of them were on a weak branch? Yes, then the pure person becomes impure. What's the definition of a tree that's shaky? So that's what they said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai. What's a weak tree? A tree that you couldn't carve out of its trunk a quarter of a log. What's the definition of a weak branch? A weak branch is a quarter of a kav. What's the definition of a weak branch? A weak branch is a branch that you could bend fully over. Okay, that's what we had gotten up to. Just at the very top here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top. All right, another law where, again, it was the students in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai who gave the definition, who gave the measurement. So now we have a Mishnah. There's something called Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is a field that had a grave in it and has been plowed up. So since it was plowed, we suspect that maybe the blade of the plow got down into the grave, got to the body of the deceased, broke up the body, and scattered the pieces of the body all over. So therefore, when a person walks through such a field, he may end up kicking, moving, touching a piece of a body, and he'll become impure. So we have a Mishnah. We're just at the very beginning here of Kuf Hei Amud Beis, of page 105b. Tanan Asim Lutin Mishnah, Mahalach Beveis HaPras, if a person is walking through this field that had a grave plowed up from it, if he's walking on stones that can be moved, stones that get pushed around, so if he's walking ala adam on a person, or ala behem or on an animal, shakochan ra, who are very weak, so since they're weak, they probably did, you know, they were unsteady in their walk. Since they were unsteady, they probably did kick around the little stones, which might have amongst them a little bone chip. So tummy, he's tummy. Ask the Gemara, hey chidami adam shakochan ra, what's the definition? What's the measurement of a person who's weak? I'm Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish explained, Kol Sharochvo, a person that you ride on him, V'ar Kuvosav Nokshos, and his knees are knocking against each other because he's so weak. Hey, Chidamim Behema Shekochora, what's the definition of a weak animal that we assume probably moved around the bone chip? Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, again, the students of Rabbi Yanai gave a definition. Any animal that by riding it, that's so hard for it, it's already defecating, it's just dropping excrement because somebody is on top of it. Okay, so we have 4 or 5 different laws, laws of impurity. Before that we had a law of plowing of a sharecropper in a field, a law about olives and grapes, where again and again it was Rabbi Yanai who gave us the definition, the students of Rabbi Yanai. So the Gemara now has another measurement from the students of Rabbi Yanai. Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, the students of Rabbi Yanai taught that the measurement, litfila, in regards to a law about prayer, about concentration in prayer, ulitfilin, and about the law of tfilin, about carrying something while you have your tfilin on, is 4 kavin. That's the measurement. What's the law of tfila? What's the law of prayer? Mahi, what was it? It was the following. When a person has to daven, so he has to stop to pray, the Shmona Esrei. Part of prayer is to concentrate in prayer. Person can't be praying if he set himself up in such a way that it'll be impossible for him to concentrate. So therefore, the Braisa says, "Anosei masi al ksefo," person who's carrying a heavy burden on his shoulder. V'yigiazman tefila. Now it's time to pray. Shmona Esrei. It's the end of the morning prayer time. So that's not so terrible. Pachas midalad kav. If the burden is less than 4 kav, mafshil la'chorav. Just strap it on your back. Just move it to your back. Umispal, you'll still be able to concentrate. But if it's arba kav, if it's 4 kav, to have a 4 kav heavy knapsack on the back will prevent concentration. So then, maniach gabe karko mispal. He has to take the bag off of his back and put it on the floor and then pray. So that measure of 4 kav, that's from the students of Rabbi Yannai. The tefillin mahi, where did they say in regards to tefillin also a measurement of 4 kav? The Tanya in a braisa. Let's say he's carrying a heaven burden on his head. The tefillin berosho, and he has his tefillin on still on his head. See, my tefillin rotes it, so if the tefillin are getting crushed, Osri is not allowed to do it. Vim lav mutter. And if they're not getting crushed, he could wear something on his head even when he has the tefillin on, according to this opinion.
How much is the kav ounces of it?
A kav is about a liter.
A liter, wow.
Beizu masui amru, what burden is on the head is so much it'll crush the tefillin? Again, masui shal arbas kavim, a masui of 4 kav. Pani Reb Chiya, now talking about things on the head, Reb Chiya taught another lesson. Forget about the weight, just about respectability. Reb Chiya taught an abraisa motzi zevel al rosh, a person who's carrying fertilizer, excrement on his head, tefillin berosh, and the tefillin are on his head. He shouldn't move the tefillin to the side, nor tie them around his hips. Because that would be treating the tefillin of the head disrespectfully. Ava, what should he do? Take the tefillin off the head, and tie them on his arm, on his left arm, next to his hand tefillin. The students of the yeshiva of Reb Shila said, it's not just a burden that has a bad smell that you can't put on your head while you're wearing tefillin. Even the tefillin bag, the bag where you put the tefillin when you take them off, which is holy, it's virtually an extension of the tefillin, that you couldn't put on your head when you have tefillin on the head. Sheyesh bo tefillin. How much of a burden shouldn't be on the head according to the students of Reb Shila when you have tefillin on? Amar Abai said, afilu riva de riva de pumpadisa. Even something which weighs a quarter of a liter of pumpadisa. In other words, a very, very small weight shouldn't be on the head. According to Abai, the only thing that should be on the head is the tefillin. However, the post can say that doesn't include a hat or a yarmulke. That also could be on the head, but it's normally on the head. But nothing else should be on the head when you have tefillin.
So he says if you have something on your head, you put the head tefillin on your arm, you tie it up. So you put two of them on the same arm?
Yeah, that's right.
Are we talking then about Poel that doesn't want to lose the time of Balabai?
Could be, but didn't mention that.
It's not.
Is it because at this time they were wearing the tefillin during the day?
Like, maybe. They wore it all day, yeah. They were able to concentrate more on the message of tefillin. The reason, really, the mitzvah of tefillin is to wear it all day. The reason why we don't is we're not confident that we will stay focused on holy matters, both in our mind and in our body, but the person is, by all means, they should wear tefillin all day. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, going back to the Mishnah said that if a man was a sharecropper, and he plowed, and he planted, and he harvested, and very little is coming out, so the Chacham say as long as he has a pile coming out, so he should stay on that job. Next year also plow and plant and harvest. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, my kids will be how could just having a pile be enough? Elohim yesh bo kdei nefila. If the field produced enough to be able to replant it next year, then the sharecropper has to stay on the job. So kama kdei nefila. How much is that? How much produce is enough to say, well, it's worthwhile to plant the field? Rabbi Yochanan, 4 sa'a of grain, likur, for a field that's big enough for a kur. A kur is normally 30 sa'a. So a field that produces 30 sa'a of grain, 4 sa'a to plant it. Rabbi Ami Dulei Omer, Shmona Sa'im likur. Rabbi Ami himself said, If the field produced 8 sav grain for a core size field, then you keep working it. There was this elderly man who said to Rav Chama, the son of Rabba, the son of Avua, Azbra Lach, I'll explain it to you. There's not really an argument here. The Shani Rabbi Yochanan, the years of Rabbi Yochanan, have a Shemina Ara. The land was very fat. It was very fertile. It was very luscious and generous. The Shani Rabbi Ami, in the years of Rabbi Ami, have a Kisha Ara. The land was very weak, and it wasn't producing much. So when it wasn't producing much, you had to have 8 sav grain to fill the whole land. When the land was very generous, only 4 sav grain were already enough to fill the field. Tanas, we learned in a Mishnah in regards to leket. We know that whenever a person drops, whenever stalks a person drops in the field, he's supposed to leave for the poor to come pick up. So what happens if he dropped stalks, so he left them in the field? The next day, before he can open up the gates to allow the poor in, he sees there was a whole windstorm last night and a lot of other stuff covered whatever was dropped in the field. So now he doesn't know what was dropped. So Haruach Shepizra Sa'omrim, the wind that scattered the bundles, and now there are sheaves covering all the dropped leket. Omden Osa, we have to assess the field. Kama leket ruya lasos. How much leket was this field able to make or likely to have made? So whatever that amount was, nosin laniyim, that's what you give to the poor. Ever of Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, there is a set amount. Nosin laniyim, kadena fila, you give to the poor the amount that falls, that we know falls. How much do we know falls from a field for leket? Yes, Avdimi Amar Rebbe Lazar. When Avdimi came, he said, "Name of Rebbe Lazar." Vitim Rebbe Yochanan. Some say what Rebbe Yochanan said, very similar to what we just said here in regards to a sharecropper. We know that in a large field that can produce a core, arba kabin, the amount of leket is 4 kav. Boy, Rebbe Yirmiya, lekur zara, lekur tzvua. So, what does that mean? 4 kav for a core. Is it a field that you're planting a core in it? It's 4 kav that fall? Or is it a field that you've harvested a core of wheat from it? It's 4 kav to a core. And when we say, if you say it's planting, what type of planting? Lemapolis yad? Is it in a field where you're planting by hand? If you're planting a core by hand, we assume that in such a field there would be 4 kav that would fall as leket. Or are we referring to a planting through oxen, where the oxen are hitched up to a wagon, there are holes in the bottom of the wagon, and the wagon walks through the field, and the seeds go through the holes to plant the field? Tashma, come in here, the Chiyasa Ravin, Amr Abavo, Amr Abelazar, Ramilo, Amr Abiyochman, some such Abiyochman who said it, Arba Kabin Lekur Zera. It's 4 kav in a field that gets planted with a kur. Still, you have the question. When you say it's planted, how are you planting? Are you planting by hand or planting by oxen? That we don't know. Okay, next Mishnah. Yeah, please.
What's the numerical relationship between 4 kav and a kor?
Oh, it's much, much less. Kav is 30 sa'ah. How many? I'm sorry, a kor is 30 sa'ah. How many sa'a are there in a... How many kav are there in a sa'a? And a kav to a sa'a, I think, is 6 kav maybe to a sa'a? 4 log, right? 4.
Six kav.
A sa'a is 6 kav.
So it's
4, it's
16.
4 kav out of a kor. So a kor is 180 kav. So it's 4 out of 180. It's not that much.
145th. So about 2%.
So it's
much less than myself. Much less. Much less. Next Mishnah, very, very important halacha. We saw it mentioned before. Let's say a man gets a field from his friend, and it's a rental agreement. I will work your field. And for the rights of working your field, every year I'm going to give you, let's say, 10 sav grain. But This year, achlachagav, the grasshoppers came, they ate everything up. Onishtava, or the wind came and it knocked everything down, it became windswept. Imakas medina hi, if this is something that's happening to all the fields around, it's a plague against the country. So I don't have to give this year's amount. I can subtract. But if it's not a widespread plague, then just because it hit my field, I'm the renter. It was my mazel. So I still need to pay. If the deal was that he was going to pay money for the field every year. So either way, he shouldn't subtract from the rent. Because Rabbi Yehuda is like this. What are you saying? If there is a plague hitting the whole country, so then we say it's Hashem's decision to hit the whole country. So whether the guy rented it to me or would have used it himself would have been the same way, because the whole country is being hit. So I don't have to pay. But if I promise to pay money, so when there is a plague hitting the field, that's not affecting my money. That's not directly on my money. My money wasn't touched. It's the field that was touched. So I can't say, well, you know, it's bad mazel here. My money wasn't touched, so I should still pay my money. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see later in the Gemara. The Gemara says no one accepts the view of Rabbi Yehuda. All right, says the Gemara, Hechi Dami Makas Medina, what would be an example of a plague hitting a whole country? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda explained, Kigon de Ishtaf Ruba de Bagi, most of the fields that are in this valley were windswept, were devastated. Ula said, "Kigoshin shtadfu arba sados mi arba ruchosea." Even less, Ula says, if the four fields around this field get damaged by the wind, that's already makas medina. Ula said, "Bobu ma'arava." They had a question in the land of Israel. Nishdaf tlem echad al pnei kula. What happens if one furrow on each of the four fields, in each of the four fields around this field, get devastated, plus this field in its entirety gets devastated. Mai, is that also considered makas medina? Another question. Nishdayer tlem echad al pnei kula mahu. What happens if this field and the four fields around it get devastated, but one row in this field is still okay? So is that considered makas medina that would exempt the renter? Or we'd say, no, it's not makas medina, and the renter still needs to pay his rent. Another question, afsika bira. Let's say in the four fields, all had wells. I'm sorry, the four fields around this field, they all are not plowed anyway. So they weren't affected by the wind, but the fields around them were affected by the wind, and this field was affected by the wind. What's the halacha? Is that considered a makas medina? Or maybe not, because the fields right around it weren't damaged. There was nothing to damage there, but they weren't damaged. Another question, let's say you have this field with wheat, and the wind comes and knocks down all the wheat, and the four fields around this field are planted with aspasta, with animal feed, and they don't get damaged by the wind. But the fields outside of them, which have wheat, are damaged. So what's that? Is that considered makas medina? What's the halacha? Do we say it's a makas medina? Because we say, if they would have been planted with wheat, they would have been damaged, because you see all the wheat fields are getting damaged. We say no. The fact that they were not damaged is a sign that this isn't a makas medina. It's not a plague against the whole area. It's just particular people are getting hit. What would be the law if zera acher? Let's say you have this field, and next to it you have fields planted with a different item, with a different grain. So what's the halacha? If those fields don't get damaged, but this field was damaged, and fields with this grain are being damaged, do we say this is makas medina? This is a plague hitting the whole area, and everything with this type of grain gets damaged? Or do we say no? The fact that things right next to it weren't damaged, so that it's not makas medina, although, or it's not considered makas medina.
We're talking about kind of yibul.
Right.
That's if it, this kind is what's
damaged.
And
right.
This kind is not.
Right. Maybe not.
No, but this is the case.
Yeah, one field is one type of produce, and the fields next to it are a different type of produce. This field with this produce is destroyed by wind. The ones next to it are not. But the ones behind those that have this type of produce are destroyed by wind. So do we say it's a plague hitting everything or not? Kol olam kulo b'shidafon. Let's say all the fields are being destroyed with a tsunami, with water. With wind. And his field was destroyed by a tremendous heat wave, which yellowed everything. Inami, alternatively, kol olam kulo b'yerakon. All the other fields are being destroyed with the heat wave. The shalobashi dafon, and his are being destroyed by wind. Mai, is that considered one makas medina, or maybe no? So Mai says, all these questions, teku, ula, did not know. All right, another question. Amar le, let's say the owner of the field tells me, the person who's renting it, Zara Hiti, plant it with wheat. Fa'azaluva Zara Sari. And I instead went and planted it with barley. Vishtadufruba Dabagi, and most of the fields of this valley have been destroyed by wind. Vishtaduf Nami Hanach Sari Dulay, and the barley that I planted also was destroyed. Samai, what's the halach? Mi Arminan, do we say, Damale, that I can tell him, listen, Iluzrat Tachiti, had I planted what I was supposed to. Had I planted wheat, Havanam Mishdadfot also would have been destroyed by the wind, just like all the other fields in the valley with wheat were destroyed. Maybe he could tell me, Iluzrat Tachiti, had you planted wheat, which is what I had told you to do, and what I was davening for, have Makayim be, because of my prayers, it would have been fulfilled. The verse, Vatigzar Omer V'yakim Lach, and you commanded and said it would happen for you, that when you pray for a certain thing, you might get it. I was praying for the wheat. But you didn't even plant wheat. You planted barley. So that's why it was destroyed. So it's your fault, and therefore you still need have to pay me, can tell me. So Gemara says, Mestabro, it makes sense. Damale, he can tell me. Israatachiti, if you have listened to me and planted wheat, have Makayim be the pasuk that would have been fulfilled with me, the verse that says, Vatigzar Omer, and you commanded to save a Yakim Lach, and it was fulfilled for you. Aldrachecha, and on your past, Naga Or, light was shining, and therefore I cannot subtract from the rent because of the wind. Next case. Mishtadfu kol sados of shel machkir. Let's say all of his fields, wherever they are, the field he has in Shiloh, the field he has in Shechem, the field he has in Ramah, the field he has in Hebron, all of his fields get destroyed by wind. Vishtaf nami abadayu. And this field that I have from him near Eli also gets destroyed by the wind. But most of the other fields in the vineyard, in the valley, are not being destroyed. So, my, what's the halacha? Mi amina, do we say, even lo ishtadaf ruba debaga, since most of the fields in this valley are not being destroyed from the field, from the wind, so you can't say it's makas medina, and therefore I still need to pay the rent. Lo mankila, I can't subtract. Or maybe I can say, even lo ishtadaf kula arase, since all of his fields were destroyed. And Matzi Amalei, I can tell him, Hai Mishum Nusachti Dach, who? The reason why this field was destroyed was obviously something about you. God was upset with your actions. That's why God is destroying all of your fields. So I shouldn't have to pay rent. Because all of your fields were destroyed, this included. Answered the Gemara, Mestabra, it makes sense to Amalei that he could tell me, Im Mishum Lusayididi, if you think it was my doing and my actions that are causing this destruction, Have Mishtayer Li Purta, something would have been left for me. But Siv, as the Pasuk says, Kinisharnu me'at meharbe, for we have remained a little bit from a many. So you see that when God punishes, he leaves a little bit. So he can say, if it was me, God would have left a little bit for me. The fact that it wasn't just me, it was wide. It wasn't, nothing was left for me, means it wasn't my fault at all. Whatever it is, it's some decree from heaven, but it's not my fault. Nishtadfu, another question. What happens if Nishtadfu calls a dose of Shalchocher? Maybe all the renter, he has a business renting fields, and all the fields that he rented, wherever they are, were destroyed by wind. Vishtadfu b'debaga. And the field this field is in, most of this valley's fields were destroyed by wind. Vishtadfu tamiha ba'adayu. And this one also was destroyed. So, my, what's the halacha now? Mi amina, do we say kiven dishtad if ruba de baga mankilet? See, I can go and say, listen, there was a makas medina, there was a plague against our country. Most of the fields in this valley were destroyed. So I subtract the rent for this year. Odilmor, maybe kiven dishtad if kulu arasa. Since all of my fields are being destroyed, Matzi Amarle, the guy who's renting to me, the landlord, can tell me, it's obviously your fault. It's something about you that's causing all the fields to be destroyed, because all of your fields are being destroyed, so you need to keep paying me. All of your fields are being destroyed. So Gemara says, makes sense that he, the landlord, can say, it's your mazel. It's not Makas Medina that caused the field to be destroyed. And therefore, you still need to pay the rent. We like the landlords. Ask the Gemara, am I? But why could he say that? Why shouldn't I be able to say back to him? If it would have been my mazel, which is causing me to lose the field, God would have left a little bit for me, because Hashem would have fulfilled with me the pasuk. For we remained a little bit of the many. Just like we say that if all the fields of the landlord get destroyed, we don't say it's the landlord's mazel. Because the landlord could say, if it would be my mazel, I would have a little bit left. So why can't we say the same thing about the renter? If all the fields of the renter are destroyed, the renter should be able to say, it's not my mazal that's causing all the fields to be destroyed, because if it would be my mazal that God is punishing me, he would leave a little bit left. So Gemara says, because the landlord can tell me, if you were deserving to have a little bit left, God would have left you one of your fields, not one of your rented fields. He would have left you one of your fields. He wouldn't have left a rented field. So it must be that this was a decree that's not leaving anything left, and it's all your mazel that's causing me a loss. So and therefore, you still need to pay.
Is it fair to say that most of these cases is an unresolved situation?
Some are unresolved, some are resolved.
Insurance. So who makes the decision at the end of the day? The business?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Now, we had earlier an argument, what's the definition of Makat Medina? Is Makat Medina most of the fields in the valley getting windswept? Or Makat Medina, this field and the four fields around it? The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Ula. Basically, I'll challenge you, we learned. The halacha is that if a person sells his field when we have Yovel, he can't buy it back until the buyer has at least two harvests from it, and then he can start buying it back. So we learned, let's say I sold my field in the years of Yovel, and year number one was a year of windswept, or a year of a terrible drought, and the sun was burning things. Or it was a year of Shemitah. Or it was years like the years of Eliyahu with no rain. So that doesn't count as part of the 2 years. And in fact, it doesn't count as part of the 2 years, and we have to wait for two harvests, and only then I can buy back the field. Katani shidafon v'yirakon, so it lists windswept and destroyed by yellowing, dumi d'shnei t'shanim k'shnei Eliyahu, like the years of Eliyahu when there was no rain. So mashnei Eliyahu, just like the years of Eliyahu, d'lo avutfu aklal. It wasn't that there was, you know, five fields that didn't have produce. There was no rain in the land of Israel for 3 years during the days of Eliyahu. There was nothing growing anywhere. So avhachas, that means that Makat Medina is the law of Tvua Klal, that there's nothing growing anywhere in the land of Israel. Avol de'ika Tvua, but it sounds like if there'd be some grain somewhere, Salkaleh, then this field would also be counted as one of the years of the 2 years to enable a buyback. V'lo kamina Makat Medina him. We don't say it's a plague for the country. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said no. Shani Yasim, in regards to buying back a field during Yovel, is different. Amar Kakas Lapasik says, but Mispar Shnei Tvuos Yimacher Lach. It's sold to you in the years of harvests. Shanim Shiesh Bem Tvua Ba'olam. As long as there's some harvest somewhere in the world, then already there's a harvest somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, then already it's considered a year of harvest. But it's not a function of the laws of Makat Medina. Okay. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kahan, if that's the case, Lamiyat Shvi is. So then the year of Shemitah, Talelu Min HaMinyan, should count as one of those 2 years. Because there are harvests outside of Eretz Yisrael, so there are harvests, it's years of harvest. Amar Leis, Rav Kahana answered, Shvius Avkata de Malkahi. In Shvius, that is where the king says, no planting. So therefore, as far as the Jews are concerned, it can't be considered a year of harvest. Amalei Marzucha Breidu Rav Mari L'Ravina. So Marzucha, the son of Rav Mari, said to Ravina, El Me'at, if you're going to say that during Shvius, Hashem says it's not a year of planting. Shvius lo tala lo minagirua. So when a person is buying back his field from Hekdesh, and he has to figure out the value of the field, so the year of Shemitah shouldn't count. Alamatzan, why do we have a Mishnah where the Pasuk says that it's 50 shekel kesef for the 50 years of Yovel, and they get divided like this, no sin selo punjon l'shana. He gives a selah and a shekel and a punjon per year that Hekdesh, that he's buying back from Hekdesh. So one second, the Shemitah year shouldn't count. Amaleis, Ravina answered, Shani Hasam, there it was different. The Chazil Mishtachya Bapeiri, there, when you're buying back your field from Hekdesh, even during Shemitah it's usable, because during Shemitah, while you can't plant, you could spread, you know, things out there to dry in the field. So having the space is usable, and therefore you should pay for buying it back. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, going back to the laws of Makas Medina, Lo Shanu, when we say that if there was a Makas Medina, I don't have to pay for this year's rent, if I planted it, it grew, and then the locusts ate it all up, or I planted it, it grew, and then the wind broke it all. Avalozara cloud, but if I didn't plant it at all, and there's the wind swept, or the locusts causing damage to the other fields, all the fields in the valley, lo, I can't subtract from what I owe him to Amarle, because he can tell me, Ilus Rata, had you done what you're supposed to do, had you planted, it would have been fulfilled with my stuff. They will not be embarrassed in a difficult time. In a time of starving, they will still be filled. You know, God would have helped. That even though everybody else is starving, our fields would have succeeded.
So if Darius decided not to work the Adama, he's still going to pay. Because
now he's going to pay.
It was Medina.
That's right. Now he will pay.
Very nice.
Rav Sheishas challenges. We learned earlier in the Masechta. Roesh if there's a shepherd who's watching sheep, v'niach edro, and he's negligent, he walks away from his flock, uvalair, and he goes to a city, ubazei v'taraf, and a wolf came and ate one of the sheep, ubari v'daras, or a lion came and it killed one of the sheep, enom, we don't say, ilu hayosham hayamatzil, had he been there, he certainly would have saved the flock, so rather we make an assessment, if he's a strong guy who can fight off a wolf, he is obligated in love, if he's not, potter, he's exempt. Why do we say that if he's not strong, he's exempt from paying? Namele, why can't the owner tell him the same thing? Yeah, via Sassam, if you had been there doing your job of Makayim B, then there would have been the fulfillment of the verse. Gamas Adov, Gamas Sariv, Gamas Adov, Ikav Decha. That David HaMelech says to Shaul, I even killed bears and lions. My answer is Mishim Damar Le, because the shepherd can tell him, he have his chazis. If I would have been a person, I'm a weak guy, if I would have been a person worthy of having a miracle to save your flock from a wolf, then the miracle would have occurred even when I'm not there. The miracle would have occurred even when I'm back in the city. The same way happened with Chabanina ben Dosa. That his goats carried bears on their horns. So if I would have been a Reb Chanina ben Dosa, I would have had a miracle like he had. So the Gemara asks, but why can't the owner of the flock tell him, it's true, or why can't he say, maybe I wasn't deserving of a big miracle, but for a small miracle, Chazina was worthy, and because you weren't there, we lost in the flock, and therefore you should be paid. So Gemara says, Kash, that's a good question. It's a problem with what Shmuel said before, that if a man did not plow and plant the field when there was a Makas Medina going on, then he doesn't have the exemption of Makas Medina because maybe the field would have worked. You see here, we don't say that maybe a miracle would have happened. All right. Tani Chadu, we learned in a Braisa. Talking about a guy who's planting. A guy plants, Pa'am Rishon, he plants the first time, it fails. Ushni, and then he plants the second time, and again it failed. Zora, he stood still, plant a third time. Ushlishis, but, I'm sorry. No, if he plants the first and second time and it failed, Ushlishis, ain't no Zora. So now, if it failed already twice this year, and you know all around him things are failing, he doesn't need to try a third time.
So he just puts back the field to the owner?
He leaves it fallow. He tells the owner, listen, we're trying. We're trying to work things. We had promised I'd pay you rent every year. But this year is not working. It's a Makas Medina. It didn't work. It didn't work first time. Didn't work the second time. It's not working everywhere around. No, all the fields around us.
The landlord doesn't say, it's not my problem.
She killed three.
What's that?
Don't get
married. No. All the fields around him are not growing. He tried twice. So if he tried twice and it still didn't work, so then he doesn't have to try a third time. That's what the first brisa says.
This is a sharecropper, right?
Yeah, sharecropper. Tanyidach, but in a third brisa, another brisa it said, Shlishit Zora. He should plant it a third time. And if he planted it a third time and it didn't work, then Revi'a said, Zora, he doesn't have to plant it a fourth time. So Mara says, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. HaKirabi, Arab Shimon Gamliel. That's the argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What? How many times does something have to happen for it to be a chazaka? HaKirabi, Damar betrays him. Niyami chazaka. The first is the view of Rabbi who says if something happens twice, it's a chazaka. It's presumed to continue to happen. HaKirabi Shimon Gamliel, Damar betlasim. Niyami chazaka. The other is the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that only if it happened three times is it a chazaka. So if he planted three times and it failed, then he does have to keep planting. Amr Ish Lakish said, Lo Shanu, Ella, Shazar, Vitzamcha, Vachla, Chagav. So the question here is if he planted it and it grew and the grasshoppers ate it, if that did that twice, did it three times, if he doesn't have to do it a fourth time. Aval Zara, but if he planted Velot Samcha and nothing grew, so he did that twice, Matsyamli Balakarka, so still the owner, the landlord can tell him, Kol Yamei Azara, Zara Lavaz, he should have planted it again. Because maybe it didn't plant yet, it didn't grow yet, because it wasn't yet the time for planting this field. But if you plant it now, things would grow. Ademas, how long is the planting season in a field? Amar Rav Papa said, till Adar. Adar Asra Arisei Midabra, until the Kaima Kima Reshayu. Till the time when the sharecroppers are coming back from their work in the field. And, you know, it's the 10th hour of the day. And the Kima star is over their heads, all the way into Adar. So the boy asks, Meisve, I'll challenge you, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Reb Meir Omer, V'chein Ha'ir Reb Shimon Menasi Omer Kedvarav, that Chatzi Tishrei, all of Mar Cheshvan and half of Kislev, is Zera. That's the time, that's the beginning of the winter, that's the time to plant. Chatzi Kislev Tevis and Chatzi Shvat, half of Kislev, all of Tevis, half of Shvat. The Schoref is called winter. That's the cold time, the rain time. Chatzi Shvat, half of Shvat, all of Adar and half of Nisan is Kor, is the very frosted time. Chatzi Nisan, half of Nisan, all of Iyar and Chatzi Sivan, half of Sivan is Katzir, is the harvesting time. Chatzi Sivan, half of Sivan, all of Tamuz and Chatzi Av is Kayetz, is the harvesting time. Chatzi Av Elul and Chatzi Tishrei is Chom, is the heat time. So there are six seasons, each season for 2 months. Rabbi Yehuda Mona mi Tishrei. Rabbi Yehuda begins from the beginning of Tishrei, and Rabbi Shimon Mona mi Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Shimon begins from Mar Cheshvan. So Ma Mekel Bikula, who is the most lenient? Rabbi Shimon. The Kula Elo Kamar, he didn't say that you could still be planting in Adar. He said you're planting into Kislev. He doesn't say you're planting in Adar. It's not a contradiction. If a person gets a field with the intent of planting early wheat, yeah, the end of the time of planting is Kislev. But if he got the field with the agreement he's going to plant late wheat, so then he has all the way till Adar to plant. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah of Yehuda, Omer Yehuda says, if the renter had promised to pay money, so the fact that there is a plague hitting the country doesn't impact the money, he should still pay the money. There was a story There was a man to Kabel Ar Lemizra Batumi. He took a field and he promised to plant garlic in the field. Where was this field? Aguda de Nahar Malkasva, on the banks of the Malkasva River. Bezuzi, and he promised not to give a certain amount of produce, but a certain amount of money every year. Istakar Nahar Malkasva. The people in the river of further up the river Malkasva used the water, and the whole water dried up. Aslakami de Rav, he came to Rava. Amalei Rava said, Nahar Malkasva lo over the Miskar. That the Malkasva River should dry is not normal. Makas Medina, this is also a plague hitting lots of fields, your field, the four fields around you. Therefore, Zil Nachile, you don't have to pay this year's rent. Amalei Rabban Rava. So the rabbi said to Rava, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, if the tenant had promised to pay money for the year, so who cares what's happening in the fields? It's not that God's sending something on his money. God sends something on the field. He still should pay the money. He shouldn't be able to subtract. Rava said, nobody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, since, you know, he wanted to plant, it's just that it was a plague from the country that there's no water to plant, so he doesn't have to pay the rent.
Why is it the landlord's fault?
Yeah. It's min hashamayim, it's an ones. The landlord also loses out. Hamakadol sadim chaver basara kur chitim l'shana. A person took a field from his friend, he promised to give 10 kur of wheat per year. The laksa, and the wheat is very shvach wheat, it's bad wheat, it's not so good. No, St. Louis should still give bad wheat. Mitocha. He doesn't have to go buy new wheat to give to him. Hayuchitea Yafos. Now let's say the field produced nice wheat. Lo yomer l'arini lokech min hashuk. I'm going to go buy from the field and give you the bad wheat. No, St. Louis, mitocha. He has to give him from the nice wheat. Ebi chanayin ibn Akash yomer. Retzah kodesh baruch hu zakuzes Yisrael. Fichachir b'lem torah mitzvah.